Leanne did not exist before this episode. What they are about to describe is happening across Northwest as you listen. This is their story. In one of the most deprived constituencies in the country, nursing training facilities sit empty while healthcare workers cannot access the programs that would qualify them for the wards that desperately need them. The disconnect between capacity and opportunity defines healthcare workforce planning across constituencies where Treasury spending limits override local need.
I grew up watching my mum come home exhausted from her shifts as a healthcare assistant at Tameside General. She'd sit at our kitchen table still in her uniform, rubbing her feet and telling me about the patients she'd helped that day. There was something about the way she talked about her work that made me want to do something similar. Not just a job, but work that mattered. I have this scar on my left hand from breaking up a fight between two residents at the care home where I worked. When people ask about it, I tell them it's from trying to help someone. That's what I wanted my whole career to be about. After 8 years bouncing between retail and care work, I decided I was ready to train properly as a nurse. In 2019, I applied to Manchester Metropolitan University's nursing programme and got accepted. I was so excited I called my mum before I'd even finished reading the letter. But when I started adding up the living costs, the reality hit me. Even with the bursary, I couldn't afford to study full-time and keep a roof over my head. I deferred my place and started looking for alternatives. I'd heard about nursing apprenticeships where you could train while working, so I contacted Health Education England Northwest directly. The woman on the phone was polite but clear. Funding had been constrained by Treasury spending limits, and places were extremely limited. She suggested I keep checking their website for updates, but couldn't give me any timeline for when more places might open up. I tried a different approach and contacted Tameside and Glossop Integrated Care NHS Foundation Trust directly. I figured if they needed nurses, maybe they'd have their own training programmes. The HR department was helpful, but the answer was the same story with different words. Their training budget had been cut and they couldn't take on new apprentices. "We'd love to expand the programme," the HR manager told me, "but the money just isn't there anymore." I accepted this. It sounded reasonable. Budgets get cut. Departments have to make hard choices. Everyone was dealing with the same constraints, so I decided to work my way in through the side door. I applied for a healthcare assistant position at Manchester University NHS Foundation Trust, thinking I could gain experience and wait for opportunities to open up. In late 2020, I was visiting Manchester Met's Burley campus for something else entirely when I decided to have a look at the nursing facilities. What I found didn't make sense. There were lecture halls designed for 200 students sitting almost empty. I asked a security guard about it, and he told me they only had about 40 funded places for the whole programme. The equipment was there, the lecture halls were there, the simulation wards were there, but they could only fill a fraction of the spaces. That same week, I was at the Job Centre Plus in Gorton when I got talking to three women in the queue. All of them had healthcare experience. One had worked as a care assistant for 12 years before being made redundant. Another had been a hospital cleaner who wanted to retrain as a healthcare assistant. The third had nursing experience from overseas, but couldn't get her qualifications recognised without doing additional training. All three wanted exactly the kind of training that those empty lecture halls at Manchester Met were designed to provide. I went back to the university and asked to speak to someone about admissions. The administrator I spoke to was sympathetic but clear. "The physical capacity exists, but Treasury controls mean we can only recruit to funded places. We have the facilities to train 200 nursing students per cohort, but we're only allowed to fund 40. That's when something clicked for me. The people existed, the buildings existed, the equipment existed, the need for nurses definitely existed. So what exactly was it that there was no money for? I started asking myself, who decides how much money exists? Who decides whether there's enough? The government that issues the pound had chosen not to spend the pounds that would connect the women I met at the job centre to those empty lecture halls. The same government that could find billions for bank bailouts and billions for tax cuts was telling us it couldn't find enough currency to train the nurses that every hospital in Greater Manchester was crying out for. I used to accept the excuse that there was no money. I hear it differently now. The government that prints the notes and mints the coins told me it could not find enough of them to train the people who were standing right there, ready to work. The real question was never about money. It was about whether the people existed, whether the skills could be taught, whether the materials were available. They were, all of them. The excuse was not a fact. It was a choice wrapped in the language of impossibility. It is the same logic as a household that says, we cannot afford it. except a household does not issue its own currency. The government does. The limit was never the money. The limit was the willingness to spend it into the places and the people who needed it. I still work as a healthcare assistant. I still see those empty training facilities when I walk past the university. I still meet people who want to do this work but can't access the training. And I understand now that this is not just my story. It is the story of every constituency where people and needs exist side by side, while someone in Westminster says the cupboard is bare, even though they hold the keys to the mint.
What Leanne experienced has a name: fake experts. This technique works by citing economists or commentators who treat the household budget analogy as self-evident, as though repeating it makes it true. Like tobacco companies once paraded doctors who insisted smoking was harmless, or pharmaceutical companies found scientists who denied their products caused addiction, the austerity industry produces a steady stream of voices who insist government spending works exactly like household spending. When Leanne questioned why training facilities sat empty while people queued for healthcare jobs, she was told, "Economists say we cannot spend more on health without causing inflation." Which economists? The profession is divided. Many macroeconomists argue the binding constraint is real capacity, not currency. Economists say, without naming them, is an appeal to unnamed authority. The fake experts never have to explain why a currency issuer should ration its own money like a household rationing someone else's money. They never have to account for the idle resources, the empty lecture halls, the unemployed healthcare workers, the unfilled nursing posts. They simply assert that spending equals inflation, training equals unaffordability, investment equals irresponsibility. The resources existed. The people existed. The decision not to connect them was political, not financial. Gorton and Denton ranks 25 out of 543 English constituencies in the deprivation index, placing it in decile 1, the most deprived 10% of constituencies. The constituency has 2,122 registered charities and received £34.6 million in grants, tracked by 360 Giving Grant Navier. All sources are published at blockedbritain.co.uk. Blocked Britain tells the stories of people whose lives are shaped by the gap between what Britain needs and what its institutions choose to provide. Every character is fictional. Every situation is drawn from official statistics. Produced by Blocked Britain.